Hello again, listeners. This is Todd Maxwell, a member of the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body 1 Camera Team, and today I'm speaking with Chief Robert Villarreal and Training Officer Eric Villarreal from the Laredo Independent School District. Chief of Police Roberto Villarreal has 25 years of law enforcement experience, 21 years of school district police experience, and 4 degrees in law enforcement and public administration, and he will be joining us on this podcast shortly. Training Officer Eric Villarreal has 10 years of law enforcement experience. He is a former chief of police of El Cienzo and Rio Bravo, former U.S. Army National Guard for 8 years, a reservist, former private investigator, and he also has a degree in criminal justice and 2 years with the Laredo ISD Police Department. Thank you for speaking with me today.
Thank you.
What led the Laredo department to decide to implement body cameras, sort of unique. Can you just sort of give us a background of what the Laredo ISD Police Department does and how they handle
before? Well, for the Laredo ISD Police Department, it's pretty much the same enforcement that a local police department has. The only difference is we're involved in a school setting. The school setting, which means we have other investigations that deal with students, staff, or any sort of investigation that pertains to the criminal element. That's what we do have. The only difference from either or is because we're involved in a school setting, that's for sure.
Okay, great. And how many officers do you guys have in your department?
Right now, we do have an estimated of at least 36 sworn police officers.
Okay, great. And so, what led the Laredo ISD department to implement body-worn cameras?
Well, for our police department and everything, we wanted to be more transparent with the public. Our progression was trying to get much better. At the same time, we understand that later on in the future, any kind of law enforcement will be implementing body cameras. So at that space, we wanted to have our police department be fully prepared for this. Again, it is a long process. Everything has to be, you know, jotted down and all that. And for our school district, as for Laredo, for our Laredo ISD and the other ISDs that are here, we're the only one that's pretty much projecting to deploy body cameras in the school setting. What's more important out of all this is that we are catching an eye to other agencies nationwide, because when we applied for the grant, we also did notice we're the only ISD in the nation that qualified for the grant. So that's kind of a big step. It is an honor at the same time, but this is where we, as our police department, have to do that extra legwork so we have everything precise.
So if you were advising another agency that is implementing the school district, what would you say your biggest challenges to implementing BWC program will or are going to be?
The biggest challenges right now that we were going through, it was a long process, is our actual policy manual. Policy manual has to do a lot with the legalities of what we're actually going to be doing. Since we are in a school setting, there has to have a lot of involvement with privacy issues, dealing with students and staff and everything else. It's very, very important that a police department has to have an extensive amount of research dealing with the implementation of their policy manual.
Okay. And so, can you sort of explain your outreach process, especially around the BWC policy formation?
Of course. We actually did our policy with the outreach. We did communicate with parent involvement. We did have that. We did outreach to the district and the county attorney's office for documentation dealing with legal issues with presenting audio and visual recordings pertaining to a school setting. We did get a lot of positive feedback, but at the same time, we have to have an understanding that once we're actually deploying body-worn cameras, we have to do an extensive amount of training with our police officers.
And did you guys have to do any type of information sharing or gathering or outreach with other law enforcement agencies that might come in for mutual aid or anything?
Yes, we actually had to communicate with other agencies, especially we have a university here in Laredo. We did communicate with them. We try to get their feedback as to find out what amount of resources do they have pertaining to body cameras, how do they actually deploy it, how has it been working with their officers dealing with criminal and civil suits and all of that nature. We did also communicate again with the district attorney's office and the county attorney's office specifying that we are going to have police officers deploying body cameras on person for safety, because with other local agencies that we have here, they do have what is called in-dash cameras, but they don't have an actual physical body camera on their person. So that's kind of an extra step, because at the same time, there's a different amount of recording when you have it in a dash cam compared to an officer making an interview with whoever it is involved in that case.
Right. You mentioned that some of the biggest challenges for you guys was the policy development. Was there any particular policy point that was difficult, or was this whole process difficult? And the reason I ask is because some of the biggest issues that we see around body cams has been the releasing of video, and then, of course, the officer's right to review the video before writing a report. So just wanted to get your perspective on some of those and what your biggest challenges were in the policy.
Our biggest challenges right now is that what we're doing right now, we're actually in our phase two process. What I explained with the phase two is that our phase one started off to actually do the implementation and the clearance for an actual policy manual. Once that's been cleared off, we're already projecting out this phase two. Phase two, we have to find out what camera can be suitable for our needs in a school setting. That would be an introduction of security encryption. If the officer is able to actually review the video, just at a review level, and that's it. If it's able to actually acknowledge that if there's any tampering with evidence with the actual equipment, it does give a red flag to the administrator, which is myself. And everything as well, our main thing is dealing with the vendors is our security encryption, dealing with the video evidence, and then storage. That's one of the main things that we're actually researching right now is the storage. Where can we actually have this equipment stored? Either we're going to have it internal, or are we going to go in a cloud setting?
Okay. And so are you guys leaning one way or the other?
Actually, right now, we're doing the research on both, sir. We actually have great communication with our IT department. They are assisting us as well with this deployment of body cameras. The reason we get that involved is because they have a more set of understanding of how technology works dealing with the software and the storage. So if we get that involved, they'll give us a better answer of how it will be suitable to dealing with storage and evidence.
Gotcha. So it sounds like your biggest considerations around vendors and storage are still sort of being worked out for storage, but for vendors is sort of encryption and the ability to review. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. The reason is for the encryption. That's one of the main things. There's a couple of other things that if I may add, that we're looking in our police department is one of them was the redaction. Dealing with any person that if they're going to release for open records, especially dealing with the media, that they want to request for open records information pertaining to a case or any involvement of the officer, we do have to have the access of redaction at the same time, because we have to have the understanding that the person being involved in that case has to have some sort of a privacy with them as well. We need to have an involvement of GPS mapping, which is giving us the exact coordinates where was the officer located. It's very crucial to our department that we have that information, because we need to know exactly where our police officer was once this body camera was actually deployed. And at the same time, it gathers us more solid evidence, so when we proceeded to court, we can actually give them one, the exact location of where it happened, and we have the evidence to prove it with this software. And at the same time, it kind of gives you an exact location, so when we're actually going to present it to court, the jury can understand where the officer was exactly located.
How big is your coverage area?
Our coverage area, it does expect, it's 13 square miles is our actual coverage of our area, sir.
Okay.
Because we have, I think, about 31 schools.
Okay, great. That's sort of what I was trying to get to. So our listeners have an idea of when you mentioned the GPS and they're talking about schools, they might have a better way to visualize it if they knew the sizes and how many schools, so it's great. So are there any big differences in use cases for a school police versus a municipal style police department?
Absolutely, because the thing about it is, being an officer from the school setting, you see firsthand what the actual officer, the student is going through. Reason being that you get some information dealing with other staff members that evaluate the child, or you know, possibly, you know, the child is actually turned into adult. You actually have some sort of a background what you're dealing with them, compared to being outside in the local municipality that the officer is just in a responding officer, which means he gets there, he has very minimal information pertaining to that child. Us with a school setting, we do develop a partnership with the actual students, so we do understand what they're coming from, compared to an officer that's out in the local level and just responding to an actual call. So our officers have a firsthand more of an experience and exposure with the actual student.
That brings up a good point. And since you are working with a lot of students, have you estimated any reduction costs for any types of releases you might have to do, since most of your individuals on video would probably be underage?
Well, that's a very good question. To give you that solid answer, our IT department is not here. But if there is any cost issues or anything like that, I will get you the solid answer later on in the next meeting. But as for sure, for us and everything, dealing with the software, hopefully we'll find out the exact cost dealing with redaction and dealing with what are the costs that are going to be dealing with the media release, or if pertaining to an actual case that a person being involved wants to have actual evidence to find out their involvement with that case.
Great. Well, it sounds like you guys will be a nice model for other agencies that are looking and at implementing body-worn cameras. And so to close out with that, what advice would you give to other school districts or agencies that are looking to implement body-worn cameras?
The main thing that I can actually give for our department and everything is take your time. You have to be very patient with everything else, starting with your policy. If you're going to, advocate for other departments and everything else, I highly recommend do your extensive research. Get other people involved, other agencies that have deployed body cameras, whether they're in the school setting or in a local municipality. Try to understand how the process works dealing with audio and visual recordings in a public environment and all that. But before anything, just take your time with what you're doing. Don't go in the rush and everything, because what you need to do is that, since this process that you're in, if you're transitioning from a department that's never had any body-worn cameras to having it now, you're going to need time for that, because training is going to be involved in all that. Legal aspects have to be educated through the to the officers. And if you are in a school setting, what the administrators, and what I explained by administrators, are your principals, assistant principals, what are the legal rights of dealing with an audio and visual recording pertaining to certain cases. They have to be fully aware of that as well, because since an officer for an ISD is deploying body cameras within a school setting, I would highly recommend for the police agency to have a good rapport with whether it be the superintendent or the IT department in that location, to find out exactly what they need to do and what legal aspects are they going to go through on that.
Great, and thank you for all those points. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. You will be our first school district law enforcement on the podcast series. So, again, thank you for joining us today.
All right.
We encourage law enforcement, justice, public safety leaders whose agencies are interested in learning more about the implementation of body-worn camera programs to visit the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit at www.bja.gov/BWC. This toolkit offers a variety of resources that agencies can use to help with the adoption and use for community involvement, policy development, data collection, officer training, educational programs. We also encourage listeners to share and promote these resources with your colleagues and staff. Lastly, all these resources in the Body-Worn Camera Toolkit have been designed as your resource. So please submit your ideas and for new content to the BWC support link at the bottom of the homepage. This is Todd Maxwell with the Bureau of Justice Assistance Body 1 Camera Team signing off, and thank you for joining us today.